Moncrief on News Talk.
When you see something, the information goes in your eye and into your brain. And it's your brain that creates that picture. But is it a full picture? Does the brain fill in bits? Daniel Yon is director of the Cool Sounding Uncertainty Lab at Birkbeck University in London. Daniel, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So when you are looking at something, are you seeing everything, or how much is your brain inferring from that information?
I think, yeah, we should probably rethink the usual picture we have of how things like vision works. It feels like you're just taking information in, but it's just as much a part of the picture that your brain is inventing and filling in the gaps, projecting what it thinks should be there.
Is there possible to put a percentage on that, on how much the brain is filling in the gaps?
Well, I think that it's hard to put a precise percentage, but I would think that you can think it's happening all the time, that the information your eye gets is just so ambiguous. It needs to build in this knowledge to make sense of anything. I mean, one case you can see that, I suppose, is something like the sort of classic Father Ted joke of cows being very small and very close, or very far away. That's a joke, right? But it does describe the state that your brain's in for everything, that the information coming in just doesn't make sense, and you need to have these projections on top to make sense of it at all.
But I imagine if you walk into your house, do you have to do as much filling in, given that you've been in that house countless times before?
Well, in a way, it's the fact that you've been there before that makes the filling in work, right? It's that you have such a well-worked-out theory of what the rest of your house is like that you don't really need to see it. You can just rely on what it was like when you left this morning. And you only really notice that you're seeing the world in this kind of constructive way when you think you see things where they, you know, ought to be but aren't.
Yeah, but say then you go to the movies and you see something you've never seen before. Then I assume the brain is working even harder to try and make sense of it or fill in the bits.
I think so, that's right. I think that if you're really not sure about the situation you're in, then you're going to find yourself bombarded with really ambiguous information. And that's going to mean that you're going to rely on those kind of crystallized ideas in your heads even more as you see the world.
Yeah. So but if you're seeing kind of some crazy science fiction movie, for instance, and it's difficult to get a reference of what you're looking at, can that become completely overwhelming and confusing?
I think it can. But I think one interesting thing you see sometimes in the blur between, say, science and science fiction is that people take what seem like really weird ideas that come into their brains, and then they do embed themselves in what people predict the future will be like. So maybe one classic one is things like sliding doors didn't really exist in the real world before they existed on Star Trek. But this idea maybe kind of embeds itself about what the future will look like, and it kind of grips, you know, the guys that make doors to think that that's what they're gonna see in the future.
Yeah, and so, and we've been talking about things we might see in the visual domain, so to speak. Then, like interpreting social situations and that kind of thing, are we doing the same thing?
Yeah, precisely. It's a bit funny we started with vision, I guess, because that's pretty bad for radio. Even in a conversation like this, that same process of the sort of the scientist in your brain kind of building its theories and making projections happens in real time. So maybe you already experienced this as a sort of radio host, but when people are talking, it's so quick and conversation unfolds so quickly, just because we're doing something quite impolite with our brains. We're not really waiting for the other person to finish talking. We're filling in the gaps with what we think they're going to say, what we think they mean. And that can sometimes lead to some sort of curious experiences. Like one that you might have had yourself is the experience of persistently mishearing the lyrics of a song, where, you know, people who hear things like, I don't know, Jimi Hendrix singing "Excuse Me While I Kiss This Guy", this guy or something, or, you know, Bob Dylan, "The Ants Are My Friends", things like that. You can start to understand that if you think you're not ever really just listening, but you're kind of constructing your interpretation of what people are saying. And that goes, you know, way beyond just the kind of words people say, and it goes even more deeply into how you kind of read their feelings and you make judgments about their character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could say a bit about that if you like.
Is that just filling it? Because it could be just Jimi Hendrix's poor enunciation, really, that's down with that.
Well, it's, well, you know, I think that is maybe he was a particularly inarticulate lyricist. I think that it happens. You can see it happening in the brain. And that if I was to kind of put some electrodes on your head while you're listening to me speak, if I start to have a sentence that has a pretty kind of predictable sounding ending, like, you know, the baby went to sleep in its, I can start to see the kind of word. Well, if you're an American, you can see the word crib starting to kind of pre-activate in parts of your brain, or the word cot in other listeners. So it's as though it's really happening ahead of time, that you're kind of putting in what you think ought to be there, not necessarily what is.
And might that explain why we sometimes mishear things then, or misinterpret what people are saying?
Yeah, you're sort of hearing your brain's best guess. And often that works seamlessly because, you know, you're such a well-practiced conversationalist, you know what people are going to say. And, you know, maybe it's a bit of a sad thought, but the things we say are not always that original. They are kind of quite predictable, and you can kind of guess where the sentence is going to go. But it's only when you have this, when you realise that your brain's predictions have gone wrong, that you're ever acquainted with the fact you're making those predictions in the first place.
Ah, yeah. But then if I thought Daniel was going to say something, but that wasn't what Daniel said at all. Is that down to, would one interpret that situation for different reasons rather than, you know, my brain isn't doing its job properly?
Well, I mean, I think the funny way of thinking about it is, I would say it is your brain doing its job properly, in that because your brain has this really, really tough job, right? It's got this job of trying to understand the world from these really, really poor signals that come into it. And how it's doing its job is it's trying to make up these theories, these hypotheses, and to blend them in with what's happening. And that's really the only way that you can perceive at all.
Yeah. So are we only ever seeing or experiencing, it is probably more accurate, a version of reality, and it might be everyone has their own version of reality?
Yeah, I think that's precisely right. And I think that this cuts, you know, much more deeply when it comes to thinking not just about how you perceive, you know, your surroundings, or, you know, the sound of my voice coming out of your speaker right now, but when you think about the way that you make judgments about other people or judgments about yourself. That everybody's got their own kind of diet of experiences, which will train up that kind of scientist in their head to think a bit differently. And that will mean that you can put two people in precisely the same situation, but because they're all kind of constructing the reality they live in, they'll literally experience different things.
Daniel, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Daniel Yon is a cognitive neuroscientist, director of the Uncertainty Lab at Birkbeck University in London, and the author of A Trick of the Mind, How the Brain Invents Your Reality.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.